Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is Pastor Joseph Parker. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister'? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Verses 1 through 20, Genesis chapter 12. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that's found in your word. Thank you for the fact that as we read and meditate on your word every day, that we grow in wisdom. We grow in our understanding of you and that which you've called us to do, and we grow in our understanding of the purpose for which you've placed us in this world. Lord, help us to grow today in our love for your word. Help us to grow today in our commitment to read and meditate on your word each and every day. And help us to grow also in our commitment to teach and encourage others to do the same, whether it be our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our brothers and our sisters, or coworkers, whoever else it might be. Help us to know, Lord, that we need to always be encouraging others to get into your word and thus receive the blessings that come from being a daily and faithful student of your word. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We want to continue to remind you that if you haven't called in and shared your listener testimony, please do. We have just a few weeks away from our upcoming fall share-a-thon, and we'd still like to hear from you if you'll call in and share a listener testimony and share how the Lord has used Urban Family to bless you, to encourage you, to help you come to know the Lord, to be saved, to help you grow up in your faith, to learn how to grow as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll call in and share a testimony, we'd appreciate hearing from you. That number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, that's 1-877-327-5647. Again, if you'll call and share a listener testimony, again, you just may hear it on our fall share-a-thon in a few weeks, but keep in mind, we'd appreciate hearing from you. Those testimonies go a long way and will bless in lots of ways. So I hope you'll call in and share. Once again, that number, 1-877-327-5647. Again, we appreciate every person that's listening. Let me remind you to please pray daily for the ministry of the Hour of Intercession, and also pray daily for the ministry of Urban Family Talk Radio. Pray for the ministry of the American Family Association. We very much need your prayers. And, you know, one of the goals behind this program is to encourage every believer to make prayer and intercession a bigger part of your life and your lifestyle. And, of course, we appreciate everyone listening, those that listen are listening through our stations, those that listen by way of Internet, those that are joining us through the Cherubin. We appreciate those joining us on Africa TV. As always, it's a privilege to have you listening in. Let me remind you, it's so important that you understand that reading and meditating on the Word of God is a critical part of life. It's to be a vital part of every person's life, and it'll change your life. Because remember this, God's Word is a guidebook for life. God's Word is also our microphone whereby God speaks to us. And so today, as we look at our topic in just a few minutes, our topic today is the art of listening to God. And it's important that you recognize this, that we need to be listening to God every single day. Every day of our lives, we should be listening to the voice of God, the wisdom of God, the counsel of God. Why? Because we desperately need God every day. We need His wisdom. We need His counsel. We need His guidance to help us just to be living a productive and a fruitful life, to be living according to the will of God. So again, we'll be talking again today about the art of listening to God, and hope you grow in your understanding of how to really do that more and more effectively in your life. Let me remind you also that, again, we do have free mobile apps we want to encourage you to get for your iPhone and for your Android devices. All you have to do is go to the App Store and search Urban Family Talk. With this app, you can take Urban Family wherever you go. So I hope you'll look it up. We started out reading here specifically in the book of Genesis chapter 12. And again, today, as I already mentioned, our topic for today is the art of listening to God. Remember this, all of us as believers obviously have apparently at least begun the journey of listening to God. Because again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, that means you've heard the Word of God and you responded to it. Remember, when you got saved, you heard God's Word, you heard the gospel, and the Spirit of God drew you through the hearing of the gospel and helped you recognize that you needed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But keep in mind, we're to continue to listen to God. We're to continue to work at hearing God better and better. Well, how do you listen to the voice of God? How do you listen to God, and how does God speak to us? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to share with you some specifics about that, and I want you to keep in mind, a goal is that you will be much better educated about what it means first to hear from God and to listen to God, and how you can hear from Him better and better and better. So let me start off by saying this. The primary way whereby we hear from God is through the Word of God. And as we read the written Word of God, that's how we mainly hear from God. Now keep in mind, Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Word of God is the mind of God. It's the will of God. And when we read God's Word, it's our microphone from God as He speaks wisdom, counsel, and direction into our lives. Do you want to hear from God today? Do you want the Creator of the universe to talk to you today? Open your Bible. He will talk to you. In fact, He'll talk to you as much as you listen. Now, if you wanted to have an audience to speak to the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Britain or the King of Jordan or the Prime Minister of Israel or whatever national leader you wanted to talk to, you know, it'd be pretty hard. But, you know, somebody a whole lot bigger, a whole lot greater, a whole lot more powerful than any of these leaders I've mentioned, God, our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, He's willing to talk to you as much as you will listen. What a privilege, what an honor, what an opportunity it is to hear counsel, wisdom, direction, and to hear from the mind of God, the Creator of the universe. And again, He's made Himself so available. We can talk to Him any day we choose to. So again, reading the Word of God is one of the great ways whereby you can hear the mind and the heart of God. God talks directly to you through His Word. So for that reason, that's why if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a good day to start reading your Bible so you can listen to God's voice. You want to know, well, what does God's voice sound like? Well, if you read out loud and read the Bible out loud, you'll find out God sounds just like you. The fact is, whatever voice through by which you hear the word of God, that's what God sounds like in that particular context. But when you're reading the word of God, God is talking to you. He's giving you counsel. He's giving you wisdom. He's giving you insight, but also he's pouring grace into your life, light into your life, strength into your life, encouragement into your life. So for that reason, remember this, reading God's word every day is very, very significant and very, very important. So it needs to be one of the high priorities of your life. For those of you that are parents, you need to help your children do the same. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful gift your word is to each and every one of us. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us to be able to hear from you any time of the day, 7 days a week, by simply opening your word and thus turning on our microphone, whereby you speak to and speak into our lives. Lord, with every passing day and with every passing moment, help us to grow in our love for your word and help us to grow in our understanding of what a great privilege and what a great blessing it is for us to be able to hear from you as you speak to us through your word. Lord, help us to be wise enough to form habits about surrounding and spending time with you in your word every single day. Lord, I pray that every single listener would develop the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every single day and thus receive the blessing that comes from that. Help us to understand, Lord, that as we read your word, you are pouring grace into our lives. You are pouring strength into our lives. You are pouring wisdom and guidance and insight and counsel into our lives. Lord, help us to recognize that one of the most fruitful and productive activities we can do today is simply open your word and read it and thus hear you speak words of blessing into our lives. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that your word is pregnant with the ability to bless us. And Lord, I pray that every single listener, whether they're listening by way of radio, whether they're joining us in the Cherubim, whether they're listening through Afrika TV, wherever they might be, Lord, just move upon their hearts mightily to help them understand that if they'll make it one of the highest priorities of their day to simply open your word, to open the Bible and read, that it will bless them all over the place, that it will bless their lives, that it will empower their lives, it will strengthen their lives, and allow your grace to pour more and more and in greater measure into their lives as they simply listen to you speak. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that your words have life. You said the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. Help us to know, Lord, that as we read the Bible, as we read your word, we're receiving your spirit and your life into our minds, our hearts, our entire being. And help us to know, Lord, that your word always has the ability to bless us. Because your word has anointing all over it, it has grace all over it, it has light all over it, it's pregnant with the ability to bless us. Guide us, Lord, to make much time every day to read, to meditate, to think on your word, and receive the blessing that only comes from you and spending time with your word. Thank you for that opportunity. And guide us, Lord, as parents to be wise enough to help our children to sit down, whether it's at the kitchen table or in the living room, to sit down and read your word, and thus they too can receive the blessing that comes from reading and meditating and thinking on your word. Lord, cause our love for your word to grow every single day. We thank you for this opportunity and we praise you for it. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we magnify your holy name. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our topic today is the art of listening to God. We'll be right back.
In the last several years, the Supreme Court has demonstrated that America has entered into a lawless era. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The court has ruled American citizens can be forced to buy a product by the federal government. Same-sex marriage is a foundational right, and states have the legal authority to require minimum medical safety standards for tonsil removal operations, but not for abortions. These decisions and many others show that America has moved into the era of lawlessness, where those tasked with protecting and defending the Constitution take every opportunity to shred it. I think Jesus knew this time would come, which is why he said, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world."
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Christians often get a bad reputation for thinking we're better than other people. We're often accused of pretending to be holier than thou. But when you really consider what we're actually saying when we say we're Christians, the opposite should be true. When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean I'm openly admitting that I'm a sinner incapable of pleasing God? When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean there was one perfect person who lived a life I never could and paid a debt I truly owed? When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm far from better than anyone else. In fact, when I say that I'm a Christian, I'm saying I deserve death and eternal separation from God because of my sin. It should humble each and every one of us when we say we're Christians. The truth of the matter is, Christianity doesn't make you perfect. It publicly acknowledges you're not. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Our country is in trouble. We're in a moral nosedive.
And recovery won't come from a political party. It'll come from returning our focus to God. You can help by being a part of the Decision America Tour.
In 2016, the Decision America Tour will visit all 50 states. At each stop, Franklin Graham will share the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ and challenge Christians to live out biblical principles at home, in public, and at the ballot box.
And I really believe this next election is going to be one of the most critical elections in the history of our country.
Be bold about your faith in Christ. Sign up for your state's prayer team. You can also get friends together to pray for America, our leaders.
And for the Decision America Tour.
If you do, we'll send you a free prayer journal to encourage you in your prayer life. Go to DecisionAmericaTour.com.
The only hope for this country is the Church of Jesus Christ.
DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Of Adam and Tara Lowry, the song simply entitled Closer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. Again, our topic for today is the art of listening to God. And again, keep in mind, all of us need to make it our goal to listen to God and also to learn how to turn the volume of God's voice up in your life louder and louder. Now, the question might be, why is that important? Well, because remember this, we live in a world that's very, very noisy. It's very, very noisy, and we hear voices and guidance and direction and counsel from many, many, many different directions. For example, when you're watching television, you get guidance and counsel from television. When you're on the internet, what you're reading, you're getting guidance and counsel from then. When you listen and talk to friends or associates or people on the job with you, you're getting input, guidance, and direction from them as well. And so often we will make decisions based on input we've gotten or guidance or direction or counsel that we've gotten from someone else or something else or some other source. But keep in mind, the loudest voice in our life needs to be the voice of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God should be the loudest voices in our lives. How do you turn the volume of God's voice up louder in your life? I'm glad you asked. One of the ways is by reading and meditating on God's Word every single day. Again, as I often encourage believers to do, reading 3 chapters in the Bible every day is very important. That's a good basic spiritual diet. Now, if you decide, I want to read more than that, that's not enough. Well, wonderful. You can't get too much of God's Word. It will only increase the blessing. But remember this, the more you read and meditate on God's Word, the louder His voice becomes. For many people, God's voice is very, very dim in their lives. And you know the reason why? If you don't read the Word much, God's voice becomes weaker and weaker and weaker in your life. On the other hand, if you read the Bible often, His voice gets louder and louder and louder. You and I should want the voice of God to be the loudest voice in our lives so that our primary means of counsel, guidance, and direction will come from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, so one of the main ways whereby we hear from God and whereby we sharpen our ability to listen to God is through His Word. A few moments ago, we read Genesis chapter 12, the story of Abraham. Now, keep in mind, as we talk about prayer on the broadcast here, keep in mind, typically, I'm going to give you a much broader definition of prayer than you probably used to. Often we think of prayer as being largely talking to God, and that it is that, but prayer is much broader than that. Prayer is not only talking to God, it's also listening to God as well. So that means that as we define prayer, then there are lots of ways in which you're actually praying when you don't realize it. Because remember this, prayer is both talking to God and listening to God. So when God speaks to you by His Spirit, that's really a form of prayer as well. And in fact, the Bible says pray without ceasing. How do you do that? You stay in the Spirit all day long. You try to stay in tune with God and close to God. Well, how do you do that? Well, of course, if you ask God to fill you afresh with His Holy Spirit, you seek to live as close to the Lord as you can, you spend time in His Word. All of these things are things that help us to draw closer to God and to hear His voice more and more clearly. Keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is many things. In the Bible, He's referred to as the Helper. That's one of His many names. He's also the Advocate. He's the Comforter. But also, keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is a fire. He's a fire, and He rests inside of us as believers. Well, there are things you and I can do to cause the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn brighter and brighter in our lives. One of those things we can do to cause the fire of the Holy Spirit to become more and more of a bonfire in our lives is read and meditate on the Word of God in volume. Now, for example, sometimes believers say, well, I read a scripture for today out of my devotional, and that's going to help me get through the day. Well, keep in mind, that's better than nothing. But that's kind of like eating a spoonful full of cornflakes and saying, well, I've eaten for the day. That's all I need to eat all day or night long. No, that's not enough. Again, it's good to eat a full spiritual meal. So again, 3 chapters a day is a good basic spiritual meal. But now keep in mind, if you want to read more, please do, because you can't overeat when it comes to God's Word. It won't make you sick, won't hurt you. It'll only increase the blessing. So you can't get too much of God's Word. But remember this, it's important to know too, as you spend time in the Word of God, remember, it's turning up the volume of God's voice in your life. Your spiritual hearing becomes better and better and better the more you spend time in the Word of God. So God will speak primarily to us by His Word, but also God speaks to us by His Holy Spirit. God talks to all of us by his Holy Spirit. God talks to every believer by his Holy Spirit. So if you know of a believer that says, well, God never talks to me, well, I'm going to just let you know up front. That person may not mean to be, but they're lying. God talks to all of his children every single day. God even talks to sinners sometimes. That's God's prerogative. He can talk to who he wants to talk to, but he talks mainly to his children, and he talks to us every single day. Sometimes God speaks by, it may just appear to be like a passing thought or an urge or a leading to do something, but sometimes you just may hear a voice in your mind speak to you. Many times that's the Holy Spirit. Now keep in mind, every voice you hear is not the Holy Spirit, because often the devil speaks to you too, and you may not realize it's him too. But also reading the Word of God every day helps you to discern the voice of God from the other voices in the world that you may hear as well. So reading the Word of God helps you in so many ways spiritually. It helps you to hone the voice of God, hone your ability to hear the voice of God more and more clearly. It causes his voice to become louder in your life, and more it gives you counsel and wisdom to determine what God wants to do in your life and to give you guidance and direction in your life. So reading his Word is very important. But God does speak to all of us by his Spirit. And the more you read the Word of God, the louder his voice becomes. But also as you learn to look for God's voice, look for his counsel, and learn to discern his voice, that'll get better and better. Let me share with you a very touching and a very powerful story. As found, it draws from a book entitled Stories for a Teen's Heart. It's simply entitled, God, Is That You? Let me share this story briefly. A young man had been to Wednesday night Bible study. The pastor had shared about listening to God and obeying the Lord's voice. The young man couldn't help but wonder, does God still speak to people? After service, he went out with some friends for coffee and pie, and they discussed the message. Several different ones talked about how God had led them in different ways. It was about 10 o'clock when the young man started driving home. Sitting in his car, he began to pray, God, if you still speak to people, speak to me. I will listen. I will do my best to obey. I will do my best to obey you. As he drove down the main street of his town, he had the strangest thought to stop and buy a gallon of milk. He shook his head and said out loud, God, is that you? He didn't get a reply and started on toward home. But again, the thought came, buy a gallon of milk. The young man thought about Samuel and how he didn't recognize the voice of God and how little Samuel ran to Eli. Okay, God, in case that is you, I'll buy the milk. It didn't seem like it was too hard of a test of obedience to get out and buy some milk, so he did. He could always use the milk. He stopped and bought the milk and started off toward home again. As he passed 7th Street, he again felt a clear urge. Turn down that street. He thought to himself, this is crazy, and drove on past the intersection. Again, he felt that he should turn around and go back down 7th Street. So at the next section, he turned around and went back and headed down 7th Street. Half jokingly, he said out loud, okay, God, I will. He drove down several blocks when suddenly he felt like he should stop. He pulled over to the curb and looked around. He was in a semi-commercial area of town. It wasn't the best, but it wasn't the worst of neighborhoods either. The businesses were closed, and most of the houses looked dark, like the people were already in bed. Again, he sensed a leading. Go and give milk to the people in the house across the street. The young man looked at the house. It was dark, and it looked like the people were either gone or they were already asleep. He started to open the door, then sat back in his car seat. Lord, this is crazy. These people are probably asleep, and if I wake them up, they're going to be mad, and I'm going to look stupid. Again, he felt like he should go and give the milk to the people in that house. Finally, he opened the door. Okay, God, if this is you, I'm going to go to the door. I'll give them the milk. If you want me to look like a crazy person, okay, I'll be obedient. I guess that will count for something, but if they don't answer right away, I'm out of here. He slowly walked across the street and rang the doorbell. He could hear some noise inside. A man's voice yells out, who is it? What do you want? Then the door opened, and when the door opened, before the young man could get away, a man was standing there at the door in his jeans and a T-shirt. He looked like he had just gotten out of bed. He had a strange look on his face, and he didn't seem too happy to have some stranger standing on his doorstep. "What is it?" The young man thrust out the gallon of milk. "Here, I brought this to you." The young man took the milk and rushed down a hallway, speaking loudly in Spanish. Then from down the hall came a woman carrying the milk toward the kitchen. The man was following her, holding a baby. The baby was crying. The man had tears streaming down his face. The man began speaking and half crying. "We were just praying. We had some big bills this month, and we ran out of money. We didn't have any milk for our baby. I was just praying and asking God to show me how to get some milk." His wife in the kitchen yelled out, "I asked him to send an angel with some. Are you an angel?" The young man reached into his wallet, pulled out all the money he had on him, and put it in the man's hand. He turned and walked back toward his car, and the tears were streaming down his face. He knew and realized God still answers prayer, and he still speaks to his children. Again, a powerful story and a touching story and a great reminder of the fact that, of course, God talks to his children, at least the ones that will listen. But, you know, the reality is God speaks to all of us every day. But you know something? Tragically, you know what God hears from a whole lot of his children every single day? Often he hears from his children the answer, "No, God, I'm not going to do that. God, that's silly. That's foolish. That doesn't make sense. I can't afford that, God. I'm not able to do that. I'm not smart enough. I'm the wrong person. You got the wrong guy, God." We tell God no way too often. We as the people of God have got to learn that, number one, God speaks by his Spirit to all of his children. He speaks by his Spirit to all of his children, but often his children will often hear God lead or nudge or urge them to do something, and they will talk themselves out of it. "I've kind of felt led to do such and such a thing, but I just brushed it aside. I felt led to call my brother, call my sister, call my friend, but I don't know. They're probably at work. They're probably busy. I just put it out of my mind." We tell God no way too much. Understand this. God speaks by his Spirit to all of his children. In fact, everyone that's listening, God has talked to you already today. And if you don't know it, it's because you just didn't. You may not have discerned his voice. But yes, God speaks to us many times in the course of the day. That's why reading the Word of God is so important, because as you read God's Word every single day, it causes you more and more to two things. It causes the volume of God's voice to get louder in your life. But number two, you can discern the voice of God better, because remember, every voice is not the voice of God. But sometimes in the course of the day, all of God's children will have the Spirit of God will speak to you. And as you listen and obey, God will use you. One of God's goals is he wants to use you to answer prayer. Just like in that story I just shared, often when we listen to God and obey him and bless other people, the reason he's leading you is because somebody has prayed and they've said, "Lord, do such and such a thing for me." And God finds one of his children that will listen to him, and he'll use them to answer prayer. Now, sometimes God skips over some believers because he knows some of his children are hard-headed. They don't want to do what they're told to do. They talk themselves out of doing what God is leading them to do. Listen to God and obey his voice. You will be a blessing to other people, and also you'll bless the heart of God, and you receive the reward for being an obedient servant of God. Listen to God and do what he tells you by his Word and his Spirit. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're talking today about the art of listening to God. We'll be right back after this break.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
What I want to do is really train you in the art of defending and commending your Christian faith to people who don't believe like you believe, and you're saying, how do I have an effective conversation with them? Well, the on-ramp is looking at culture and taking advantage of the conversations that folks are already having and saying, how do I make a beeline for Jesus?
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Wesley Biblical Seminary provides a solid foundation based upon the inerrancy of the Bible and the call to holy living. Online or at our Jackson, Mississippi or Greenwood, Indiana campuses, Our academically rigorous learning community will add incredible value to your Christian experience. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning ignite with passion for Christ. WBS.edu.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
A father's attitude about finances can make the difference between running a family successfully and running it into the ground. Dr. Tony Evans explains why as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
There is no greater problem facing families and individuals today than the problem of debt. Someone has said that there are three categories of people: the haves, the have-nots, and the have-not-paid for what they have. To be weighted down in debt is a sign of lack of spirituality. And you can camouflage it any way you want to, but God told his people in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and verse 12, that if you would do things my way, a lender and not a borrower you shall be. Ignorance can breed debt. Indulgence, impulse spending, and when there is no plan, there is a plan to fail. Psalm 37:21 says, "It is the unrighteous who borrow and do not repay. It is ungodly to have bills for which you do not take responsibility." And that not only means that it is paid, it also means that it is paid timely. But whether you decide to believe God or not will determine whether debt runs you or you run debt.
Learn more about how a godly man can change his wife, his family, his church, even his world. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man, for yourself, your brother, uncle, husband, father, teenage son, or your church study group. Visit us at TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Making Kingdom Man. That's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Highly exalted,
glorious in heaven.
Anthony Evans, the song, Here I Am to Worship. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We appreciate you listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, we're looking at the topic of the art of listening to God. And remember that God speaks to us primarily by His Word and His Spirit. Now, God sometimes speaks through people. Sometimes He speaks through circumstances. Sometimes He often speaks through nature. But He speaks primarily to us by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. And remember, the closer we draw to the Lord, the more effectively we hear both His Word and we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And remember, the more you spend time in the Word of God, the louder the volume of the Holy Spirit's voice in your life gets. And also, when you obey God, that too causes the volume of God's voice in your life to get louder as well. When we disobey God, the voice gets a little bit lighter. So obedience is very, very important. Again, in Genesis chapter 12, we see the story of Abraham. God spoke to Abraham and told him to pack up, leave where he was, and move to the land that He would show him. Well, again, it doesn't say Abraham got down on his knees, but God spoke to him. Often God will speak to you sometimes when you're in the midst of praying, maybe on your knees or praying wherever you might be. But sometimes, often God will speak to you when you're not in prayer mode at all. And it's good for us more and more to learn to listen to the voice of God. God may speak to you while you're driving down the road. He may speak to you while you're working at your desk at work or working in the factory, wherever you might be. God can speak to you anywhere He chooses to speak to you. But remember this, many times it's in your prayer closet that you have fewer distractions and you can hear the voice of God more clearly. Well, Abraham heard from God. He obeyed God, packed up and moved himself, his wife and family and things, to the land of Canaan, and the world is still being blessed today because of Abraham's obedience. Remember this, when you read the Word of God and or when you hear the Holy Spirit tell you to do something, you do it, you step into the eternal purposes of God. So it's important then that you obey. When God tells you to do something, do it. Don't come up with excuses as to why you shouldn't do it or why you feel silly or why you feel like this isn't right. When you discern that it's the will of God, just do it. You know, just like the Nike commercial, just do it. Obey. Do what God tells you to do. So Abraham obeyed, and the world is still being blessed because of his obedience. When you obey God, when He leads you by His Word or His Spirit to do something, you too will become a greater blessing to the world. Why? Because God's will is getting done. God's will is getting done. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. It has an interesting story about listening to God. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here I am. And he went on to say, So he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. And if you read the rest of the chapter, you come to find that God spoke a good bit more to Samuel that night and gave him information he wanted him to know about and to share. Well, the point here is, again, when God was calling Samuel, at first Samuel didn't know it was God. And you know, that is so common. Sometimes God is speaking to people or individuals about something. He's leading them to do something, and they don't know it's God. They may just think it's, oh, one mind told me to do such and such a thing. Or I felt I had this funny feeling to do something. I felt an urge to do such and such a thing. Many times that's the Holy Spirit speak. That's God speaking to you. We've got to learn to grow an understanding of discerning his voice and then simply deciding, when God talks to me, I'm going to do what he says. Decide that you're going to do what God tells you to do when he calls you to do it. Interesting story that one more story I'd like to share before our time runs out. And it's a book simply entitled Finding Nadia. A story entitled Finding Nadia. And I want you to listen to the details of this story. It's a touching story, but a powerful story about listening to the Holy Spirit. Again, searching for Nadia. Sometimes faith can take a person to strange places. In James King's case, his faith led him to ignore police requests and slog through an alligator and snake-infested swamp in search of an 11-year-old girl he barely knew. On a Friday in early spring 2010, fifth grader Nadia Bloom, who has an autism-related disorder called Asperger's syndrome, ventured into the dense swampland near her Central Florida home on a nature walk. She soon became lost, sending her family and friends into a panic. Volunteers and police mounted a frantic search, but even aided by helicopter divers and trained dogs, the effort was unsuccessful. One day passed, then two, then three. Hope dwindled with the dawn of each new morning. Nadia's parents knew that if she had packed any food and drank at all, they would have been too meager to last. Moreover, any hope was dampened by the fact that the area that had apparently swallowed Nadia was home to thousands of alligators, snakes, and poisonous insects. Meanwhile, the police scaled back their search and asked civilian searchers to cease their efforts. No one was willing to state what appeared to be obvious, but the implication was clear. The odds were increasingly mounting against an 85-pound special needs girl surviving in those conditions for that length of time. But not everyone heeded the police's orders. Not everyone was ready to give up. In the pre-dawn hours of day four, James King, a defense contractor and father of five, prepared himself for a compassionate act of disobedience. He taped his pant legs to his shoes. He packed trail mix, protein drinks, and an apple, along with two cell phones and his GPS device, and a roll of toilet paper. Then, as the sun rose, he began sloshing through knee-deep water and muck, determined to find the girl whose family used to attend the same church as King's family did. He had not been especially close to Nadia or her family, but he felt an unmistakable call from God. He heard the Spirit of God say to him, "Find Nadia." As he navigated the swamp, King prayed and recited scriptures. Among those verses was one from Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." As he walked, King felt the Lord urging him to follow the rising sun. Periodically, King called out Nadia's name, but he received no response. Until about 2 hours deep into the swamp, as he neared a dry patch in the middle of the swamp, he tried again. "Nadia," he shouted. Then he heard a small, "What?" King trudged in the direction of the little voice. He found Nadia sitting on a log. She was polka-dotted with insect bites, but in remarkably good shape for an 11-year-old who had just spent 4 days and four nights in a swamp. King gave her food and drink, which Nadia inhaled gratefully, although she did express disappointment that her rescuer had neglected to bring M&Ms. Then King called 911 and also Nadia's family. He used the toilet paper to help mark the location. Authorities were able to triangulate King's position by using his cell and his GPS signals, and the toilet paper draped about the area helped them target the exact location, which was inaccessible by helicopter. Thus, a team of rescuers had to use machetes to hack their way to King and Nadia and then carry her out on a stretcher. "I'm glad you guys found me," Nadia told the team when they arrived, nearly 3 hours after King's 911 call. Then began the tedious 2-hour-long slog through the thick brush and mud to civilization. Though exhausted, King quickly volunteered to help man the stretcher. Nadia's stretcher arrived back to civilization to a waiting ambulance and a cheering crowd. Mr. King is a hero, Police Chief Kevin Brunel told reporters on the scene. He led us to her. But King was quick to redirect the credit. The Lord told me where to find her, he informed the waiting media. It was strictly the Lord. He went on to reveal that while she was lost, Nadia had recited the same scripture, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that had buoyed him during his search. Some reporters would write this off as a coincidence, not King or anyone who knows him well. He's got great faith, King's wife Diane explained to the media. He's an instrument who is used by God. Well, again, a powerful story about listening to God. Mr. King, even though they told people to knock off the search, Mr. King heard the Holy Spirit tell him, go find Nadia. Again, I shared those two examples of instances where people chose to listen to God. Keep this in mind. It should be the desire of every single one of us to make it our goal to listen to God as he speaks to us by his word, but also to listen to the Holy Spirit. Many times the Holy Spirit will speak to you and use you to be a blessing to other people if we simply will listen and obey. Let's make it our goal to have ears to hear, to listen to the Spirit of God. In fact, a wise prayer to pray every day is, Lord, help me to hear your voice clearly and help me to be very, very obedient. Praying that every day will help you greatly. Make it your goal to do just that. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you speak to us every day. Every day that we read our Bibles, you're speaking directly to us through your word. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that every day you speak to us as your children by your Spirit. Help us more and more with every passing day to discern your voice as you speak to us by your Spirit. And help us to be an obedient people. Help us to be individuals you can use to be a blessing. And help us to be vessels you can use to answer the prayers of others when you so desire, Lord. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so many instances, not just every once in a while, but every day, whereby if we'll just listen to you and obey you, you will not only use us, but you will use us to be a great, great blessing. Help us more and more to have ears to hear as you speak to us by your Spirit every day. Thank you for the chance to listen to you and obey you daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We've been talking about the art of listening to God. Remember, every day you spend time in the Word of God, it turns the volume of His voice up louder. And the more time you spend in prayer, that too turns the volume of His voice up louder. Hope you do that every day. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.